listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast.
And so I'm excited to share what God has to say to us today. So we're going to get right to it. The title of this message is Living Past Your Past. And one of the things about my past, I mean, there's many things about my past that I'm not necessarily proud of. Excuse me. But one thing that I can at least share in this setting is that I've never been a very handy person. I've been able to do minimal things like on my car or around the house. But while my dad could fix basically anything, I did not have that gift. My motto was basically, if you want something done, hire good people to do it. But over the years, I have become YouTube certified. And my wife will tell you, I am much more handy around the house or with our cars. If there's something that I don't know how to fix or put together, then I can go right to YouTube and find out how to get that thing done. And so YouTube, I can admit that even though it can be non-productive and it can be used in some negative ways, YouTube has been beneficial to so many of us in that regard and to other ways as well. However, one way that YouTube has helped some people, but in a deceptive way, is when it comes to romantic relationships. Because if someone says, I love you, to a person that they deeply care for, somebody that they're romantically becoming involved with, for a lot of people, it's hard for them to reciprocate that same sentiment. Because for many people, it's a big deal to tell someone I love you, because that means that you're taking your relationship to another level as far as the commitment to that one person. And there are some people that simply aren't ready to take that next step. And so if someone says to someone that they are becoming romantically involved with, I love you, the other person may say something like, I really like you, or I care about you a lot. Now, the worst that I've heard is when a woman told a man, I love you, and the man said, thank you. And they broke up soon after that. But with this video sharing platform, people now have a response, because I've heard a woman say to a man, I love you, and the man said, I love you too. They said, I love YouTube. They just made sure to keep the B sound very quiet. And I'm looking at some of your faces. Some of y'all are like, that's a good idea. Like, and so if they get in an argument and the woman says, well, you told me you loved me, the man can say, no, I didn't. And so there are people who use that little trick with their words because they know it's a big deal. When the person you care about and that you're becoming romantically involved with says, I love you, so many people hesitate and they try to avoid saying those three words because that three-word sentence is so meaningful and can be a life-changing thing to say to someone. And in the book of Luke, chapter 17, Jesus says a three-word sentence that is life-changing to say the least. In that scripture, after Jesus describes how before he returns, the spiritual condition of the world is going to resemble Sodom and Gomorrah when God judged them. And Jesus says in verse 32, remember Lot's wife. And although it's one of the shortest verses in the entire Bible, there is so much wisdom, there is so much revelation, there is so much power, and there's so much breakthrough in that sentence, in those three words, because Lot's wife was a woman she enjoyed living in sin while she was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And although she was following Lot physically and she was disconnecting from that place of Sodom and Gomorrah, she was disconnecting from there physically on the outside, she was still connected to that place on the inside. And because that internal connection was not broken, it caused her to disobey God and to look back and turn into a pillar of salt. And that's one main reason that this message is not called Moving Past Your Past. Because Lot's wife was moving. She was moving past her past, but she never truly let go of her past. to where she could experience a new level of life, walking in the victory of knowing that God had set her free from the sin that had her bound, and where she could tell other people of God's goodness to people who were bound so that they could be free as well. And you may be here today and you feel like Lot's wife. You feel that a part of you is stuck because your past still has a hold on you. And I am in no way, I want to be very clear about something, I am in no way making light of anything that any of us have been through in life. I myself have been through some stuff, and I'm sure that there's people here, there's people that are watching that have been through some terrible, terrible things in their life, things that weren't even their fault. And I'm sure that there are people who have made mistakes in their lives and they've had to experience the consequences of those actions. And all those things are legitimate and they are not to be ignored and they are not to be minimized. But I'm here to tell you today that God does not want you still stuck. He does not want you to go into a new year still stuck with the problems of your past. God is ready to do a new thing. God is ready to set people free. He is ready to turn those things that the enemy meant for evil into something for his glory. God wants you to be free. And I believe for some people here today, that's going to happen for you in Jesus' name. But there are some important things that we need to know and that we need to put into action in order to experience this level of victory, this level of liberty that God has in store for us. And there's an event that's documented in 2 Kings that the Lord is going to use, I believe, to help us with this. So if you will, go with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. And let's start, we're going to start reading, we're going to read verses 1 through 5 to start off. 2 Kings 5, starting at verse 1, and we'll read through 5 to start us off this morning. Verse 1 of 2 Kings 5 says, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians on one of their raids had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. So this girl was a servant, like a maid to Naaman's wife. And in verse 3, talking about the little girl, said to her mistress, would that my lord were with the prophet who was in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy. So Naaman went in and told his lord, thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go now and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. So this army commander Naaman had leprosy, which is a skin disease that some forms of it can be very contagious and can be very painful to people who have it. And at that particular time, there was no known cure for it. And what we just read suggests that he had this condition for a significant period of time, because it got to the point that even with Naaman's military ability and with his reputation and how well-respected he was by his king, Naaman was willing to get advice about this disease wherever he could get it. He was even willing to go into enemy territory because he knew he had a problem. And if you're struggling with something from your past, one thing that we can learn from what we just read is that we need to admit there is a problem. For all of Naaman's achievements, Naaman was not a perfect man by any means, and we'll look more into some of his faults here in a little bit. But one thing that I could commend him on, at least, was that he was not in denial about the issue that he was dealing with. But for so many of us, we can be dealing with an issue from our past for years. And not only do we never ask for help, but we never even admit that there's something from our past that we're still struggling with. One reason for that could be because of fear, where we refuse to revisit and relook at a dark time in our past because we're afraid that it's going to bring up bad memories of things that we don't want to face, but rather things that we want to forget. Another reason we may not admit that we're struggling with something from our past could be embarrassment. From it's embarrassing to say out loud, to you can't believe something from so long ago still has a grip on you. And I've dealt with that, where I've had issues from my childhood, whether it's something that was done to me, something that happened to me, or something that was self-inflicted, but that it caused something to where it held me back physically, mentally, and emotionally. So if you can relate to that, then you're not alone. Or it could be some other reason or a combination of reasons why we don't want to admit the problem. But by us not being willing to admit our issues, we actually are giving them more control over our lives. So the more that we try to hide our problems, the more we hinder our own progress. So whether it's we admit to a spiritually mature believer, or we admit to a trusted ministry leader, or we admit to licensed Christian counseling outside of the church, just for a few examples. But as we admit that an issue or issues from our past are keeping us stuck in life, it begins to loosen the grip that those things have had on our lives and the less those things have control over us. But there is another component that is just as important, if not even more important. The prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 65:16, he says, "Anyone who has good things come to him in the land will have good things come to him by the God of truth. And he who makes a promise in the land will promise by the God of truth. The troubles of the past are forgotten and are hidden from my eyes." And when you're honest with yourself and you admit to the God of truth that you're still struggling with something from your personal history that's still hurting you, then that is an example of you now getting real with God. And the more that you get real with God, the more that God becomes real to you. And so we have to be able and be willing to be able to express those things that are going on in our lives. But then there's people when we do that, when we're truthful with the God of truth, then he comes with restoration, he comes with forgiveness, and he comes with strength. But then there's people who aren't necessarily in denial. It's not that they pretend that it's not an issue when they know that it really is. But some people simply don't know that the reason they're not progressing in a particular area of life is because something from their past still has them stuck. And this leads to another thing that you can pull from Naaman's situation to help you to live past your past, and that is to appreciate the people that God has put in your present. Because sometimes people around us can help us identify things about us that need to be addressed that we don't even notice. Later in 2 Kings chapter 5, we're going to see how Naaman's own servants came and talked to him and tried to help him in regards to his condition. And whenever I've heard ministers talk about this event in 2 Kings 5, they tend to only talk about Naaman's servants as the ones giving him advice. And while his servants should be recognized for what they did, they should be highlighted for that. But long before that exchange between Naaman and his servants, there was someone else who earlier gave Naaman a helpful suggestion. One translation of verse 3 that we read says, "One day the girl said to her master's wife, 'I would like my master Naaman to meet the prophet who was in Samaria. The prophet would take away his disease.'" The prophet she's talking about is the prophet Elisha. So Naaman had people around him to help him to deal with this issue. And one main reason that we're all called to accept Jesus and to be part of the body of Christ is so that we'll all be connected and we can have a church family that can be there for one another. And I'm so glad to have that godly support in my life, but that was not always the case. When I lived in West Virginia and before I came to know the Lord, there was a guy that moved from out of state and moved to West Virginia to where I lived, around where I lived. And looking back on it, I think he was just real eager to try to get to know more people and build friendships with people within that area, so since he was new to the area. And so him and I, we started getting to know each other, and it got to the point where he would call me his best friend. And he would constantly, like, always come over to my apartment and want to hang out and do things. And so even though I didn't necessarily feel the same way about him, I wasn't driving at the time, and he had a car, and he was my main source of transportation. I wasn't saved, y'all, at the time. But yes, I was using him. And so one night we were out, we were partying a little bit, and I was riding with him, and we were standing outside with a group of people. And I was standing a little bit of distance away, and I could see where he was, that he had gotten into an argument with the guy. And it started to really escalate very quickly to the point that there were at least, I don't want to exaggerate, but at least four guys, and I'm thinking it was more than that, but at least four guys that started to surround him like they were going to jump him, like they were going to beat him up. And so, like I said, I was standing a little far away off, but when I saw that, I went over there because I was like, if it's going to be a fight, then I'm going to help my ride. I'm going to help the guy that I came here with. And so I go over there to see what's going on, and it's just escalated. It's gotten totally out of control. And as I'm going over there to try to help him, the guy that I rode with, my best friend, jumps in his car, drives off, and leaves me there. I'm standing there shocked that this guy has just left me. The group of guys that were about to beat him up are shocked that he drove off and left me. And as they turn around, slowly turn around to start looking at me, I slowly and calmly turn around and start walking away. Just like this, Denzel Washington style. Because if I would have turned around, I'm sure that they would have followed me. If I would have started running, I'm sure they would have chased me. And I heard somebody in the background say, let's get him. And then I heard somebody else say, no, I'll leave him alone. And even though I only lived a few blocks away from where we were that night, I had to walk home that night. And so I know what it's like to have people in your life who you think are going to be there for you, but then they leave you high and dry. And so I understand where how people can feel when that happens. But eventually, I gave my life to the Lord, and God started to bring men into my life to really mentor me and be there for me and to support me and to help me to grow my relationship with Jesus to the point that not only did I know that I could count on them, they knew that they could count on me through good times, through bad times, through in-between times. God really used those people to help me to see what real godly friendship looks like. And about 10 years after that incident that night, I saw the guy that left me. I had a job at the time where I had a company car and I would drive all around the state to different places, and I'd stopped at a random rest stop, and the guy saw me and he called my name and he came over to me, and he was still apologizing for what he did 10 years prior to that. And I looked at him, I was like, man, don't worry about it. Because by that time, I could look in my life and I could see men who I knew really had my back and would be there for me. And it was that love and support from that community that helped me to forgive that man for what he did to me that night. But even though I forgave him, I also remembered to do this as a general rule, and that is establish and maintain distance from people that have your problems. After Naaman told his king, the king of Syria, what the servant said in verse 3, the king sent Naaman with a letter to get the king of Israel to cure Naaman of his leprosy. Now remember, Syria was an enemy to Israel. And starting in verse 7 in the Message Bible, it says, when the king of Israel read the letter, he was terribly upset. Ripping his robe to pieces, he said, am I a god with the power to bring death or life that I get orders to heal this man from his disease? What's going on here? The king's trying to pick a fight, that's what. So the king got so upset that he thought that Syria wanted to get into another fight. So this could have ended up not only bad for as far as more people being hurt and families being torn apart, but this could have been bad on a personal level for Naaman because he would still have to live with this disease. But Naaman was able to get away from the king and avoid more conflict. And there may be certain people that have been in your life from your past who may still possibly be in your life now. And they're manipulative, and they're controlling, and they're abusive in some way, shape, or form. And they don't respect you. And they're always taking from you. They're taking of your energy. They're taking of your time. They may be even taking of your finances. And they don't add anything to your life but stress and mess and confusion and drama. It may be time for you to consider creating some space between you and that individual. I'm just throwing that out as a suggestion. Because God has promised us peace. And if I know that God has promised me peace, then I'm going to protect the peace that God has given me by identifying relationships from my past that are trying to hinder me from appreciating the peace and the people that God has put in my present. Because as hard as it can be to accept that we have to as hard as it can be to accept, we have to understand that relationships can be seasonal. Some, not all, but some relationships can be seasonal. Some of you absolutely love warm weather. And this time of year might be a little irritating for you just because of how cool and how chilly it can get sometimes. I saw that by early this week, it's going to be back into the 30s at some point. But this is the sunshine state, so you know that eventually it's going to be warm again. And then there's some of you that absolutely love this break from the nonstop Florida heat and the sun beating down on you. But and so you're enjoying these times where it's cooler weather, it's colder weather. But just know, eventually it will come to an end, and it'll be 137 degrees outside again. Because seasons are not meant to last forever. And there are some relationships, not all, but some relationships that are made to be the same way. And when the season of a relationship is coming to an end, you don't have to try to work to try to make it last and to keep it going. You don't have to do all you can to make sure that it doesn't end, because God already has an expiration date for it. And one of the worst things you can do is still try to get nourishment out of something that is past its expiration date. But when the season of a particular relationship is coming to an end, what you can do is acknowledge the good things, the good times that you've had with that individual, with that person. Cherish the memories that you've shared that you'll never forget. But accept the fact that the season of that relationship is coming to an end. Be ready to have that hard conversation so that you can let it go, knowing that God has more in store for you that he wants to bring into your life. And when it comes to a painful experience from your past, you have to understand that your past does not define your destiny. I heard one wise man say it like this, that your past is simply a down payment on your destiny. But for you to make a down payment, you've got to put the payment down. So when it comes to the pain of your past, stop holding on to it and be ready to let it go. So whether that's from digitally unfollowing someone on social media or blocking them or unfriending them on social media, all the way to literally having some physical distance between you and a certain individual, having space between you and them can help you to live past your past. And let me make it clear that you can still love them, you can just love them from a distance. Another thing that can help us with this is to focus on God's preferred future for your life. Continuing on in 2 Kings 5, after Naaman left the king of Israel, he went to see the prophet Elisha to cure him of his disease. Starting in verse 9, it says, "So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean.' But Naaman was angry and went away saying, 'Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage." So instead of Naaman being filled with hope and encouragement of what God had planned for him, Naaman got distracted and was focusing on other things instead. One thing Naaman focused on was, even though he was a military hero, he did not get a hero's welcome from Elisha at all. And Naaman got offended because the prophet didn't come out to meet him personally, but rather Elisha sent a messenger on his behalf to tell him what to do. And then Naaman figured, since with his status and his reputation, that he was kind of a big deal, so he figured that Elisha would make kind of a big deal as far as the method that he was going to use for Naaman's miracle. But Naaman got angry and went away because Elisha simply told him to dip 7 times in a river, and Elisha even told him what would happen if he did it. When we plan to go to a movie theater to see a film, when we see the start time that they have listed, we understand that that start time does not mean that's when the movie we want to see is going to start. We understand that that's when they're going to start showing the trailers of movies that are going to come out in the future. And there have been times, and you've probably been through this as well, where when we've sat in movie theaters and certain trailers will start playing, there will be people that will start cheering and clapping because they're so excited to see a sneak preview of a coming attraction. Now, Elisha told Naaman, if you dip in the Jordan 7 times, you will be healed. And by doing this, the prophet Elisha gave Naaman a sneak preview of what God was about to do in Naaman's life. And God does the same for us when he says things like Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The message for that says, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. Another translation of that says, he saw the joy ahead of him. So he endured death on the cross and ignored the disgrace it brought him. So Jesus knew what God had in store for him, but he still had to go through a process. Naaman got a sneak preview of what God wanted to do, but he still had to go through a process. And this leads to the last thing that we'll look at that we can learn from Naaman to help us to live past our past, and that is, don't quit the process no matter how messy it gets. After Naaman's servants convinced him to follow Elisha's instructions, verse 14 says, so he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So Naaman dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan River. And what you have to understand about the Jordan River was that it was dirty. It was muddy. It was dirty. And Naaman considered it beneath him and inferior to him because he was a man of such status. So the pride that he had in his position could have caused him to miss out on God's promise. And for us, pride can do that for us as well. Pride can tell us because something happened so long ago, it shouldn't affect us anymore, even though it still may negatively affect us today. And as a result, our progress can be hindered by our pride. This is one reason why Romans 12:3 gives us a warning when it says, be honest in your estimate of yourselves. Another translation of that says, do not think of yourself more highly than you should. And thankfully, Naaman put his pride to the side, and he went to that dirty river. And though he was told to dip 7 times in that river, he could have quit after the first time that he dipped in that river. He could have quit after the second time. He could have quit after the third time, or the fourth time, or the fifth time, or the sixth time. But in spite of the mess, and in spite of the uncomfortable feeling that he probably felt during that time, and in spite of the discomfort, he still did not quit. When I was a kid, we lived in this one neighborhood where there were a bunch of apartment buildings, and there was a basketball court in the middle of the apartment complex, and it was on top of this hill, and it was this gravel hill. It was just full of rocks, and so the court was on top of that hill. And as kids, we had to be careful if the ball rolled off the hill, because if it rolled off the hill, then it could roll across the street and roll in between some of the apartment buildings. And in between the apartment buildings was this grassy hill in between all the apartment buildings. The grassy hill led to the parking lot, and it was all on an incline. So the parking lot led to a street, and at the end of the street, there was this huge pit where it was a junkyard. So if your ball rolled off that end street, then you may never see your ball again, unless you want to go rummaging through the junkyard. And so one day, sure enough, I'm playing on the basketball court, the ball flies off the court, starts rolling down the hill, rolling, and it's rolling kind of fast. So I'm running down the gravel hill, and then I run across the street, and then the ball rolls into the grassy incline, the grassy hill. And as I'm running down the grassy hill trying to catch the ball, I slide from the grassy part, from the grass, onto the parking lot. I get up, and not to be graphic, but there was like a hole in my knee. Not all the way through, but you could see inside of my knee. And so my mom takes me to the hospital, and so the doctor's telling me all the things that need to be done. And so first, they have to get the debris out of my knee. So there's like little pieces of gravel and grass inside my knee, and so that wasn't pretty, and that was uncomfortable. And then they had to stitch me up, so I had to get stitches. And so that hurt a little bit. And then probably one of the worst things about it was he told me that I couldn't play like I normally did. I loved playing sports and playing outside, But he said, well, if you bend your leg, then you're going to pop your stitches out. So I was very limited on the things I can do. And so that was uncomfortable as well. But I had to follow the doctor's instructions in order to get my knee back to the place where it needed to be. That happened when I was a kid. To this day, I have a very visible scar on my knee. I remember everything that happened from the past, from when I hurt my knee that day. I can touch it. I can touch where the wound was, but it doesn't hurt anymore. And when you trust the master physician and you're willing to go through the process to live past your past, no matter how uncomfortable and no matter how much it may hurt, then he is going to show himself as Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, where you'll be able to remember everything that happened in your past, but it won't hurt anymore. Where you'll be able to talk about to other people the things that you've been through, but it won't hurt anymore. You may even see the person who hurt you. I'm telling you what I've experienced. You may be able to see the person, you might see the person, whether it's a picture or you might be face to face with the person who hurt you, and it won't hurt anymore. God is able to do that. God is able to bring that kind of healing. I wasn't planning to do this, but I don't think it's a coincidence that I'm wearing a bunch of black today. Because for some of you, you're about to have a funeral where you're going to be able to say once and for all, rest in peace to your past, so that you can start living the life that God has planned for you, where you're not going to go into another year dealing with those things from your past that have had you stuck. And so if you know that that's for you, you love the Lord, but you know that there's something from your past that has had you stuck, today is your day. I want you to stand. I want to get ready to pray for you. So all over this room, if that's you, I want you to stand at this time. And if you would, just lift your hands to heaven. This is an act of surrender that you're letting that thing go. You're giving it to God, and you're ready to receive what God has for you today. Father, your word says in Isaiah 55 that when your word goes forth, it will not return void. It will accomplish everything that it has been sent out to do, and it will be successful in what it has been sent out to do. And God, I declare that every single person here, that they have not only heard your word, but they receive your word right now. Do a work right now, Father, in their lives. What the enemy meant for evil, God, I thank you that even right now, you are turning it around for an awesome testimony in their lives, that they'll be able to be a witness to their family, to their friends, to coworkers, to classmates, to people in their neighborhoods, and everywhere they go, of how you are the one that healed them. And I thank you, Father, that you said that old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That they are going into a new year, free, for who the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you, Father, for doing a work, for being so faithful to us. Your love, your mercy has endured, and it continues to endure forever. And we give you praise for what you have done today in the lives of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.